The reading this evening is taken from Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Leviticus 10, verses 1 and 2, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord.
Good to be here tonight. Looks like we have a decent crowd for tonight. I didn't know who's going to show up. But we appreciate you all and your faithfulness. I know that it might get bad out there, so we won't keep you very long tonight so you can get back home safely. This world is in a mess religiously, and one reason for that is because, is because people don't look at the details of the Bible. They don't read the fine print, so to speak. And that is, of course, a great mistake. That is always a mistake when you're reading any kind of important document. You want to make sure that you read the small print. I can remember when we lived in Ellet, when I was preaching at Thayer Street, that some of you may know, we had a fire in the house that we lived in, and we had the people come in. Of course, we had decent insurance, and they did a good job and took care of everything rather quickly. Well, I guess the construction took a while, but they were right on the spot when it happened. But we discovered that it was a real old house. Some of you were in the house, a few of you have been in our house when we lived there in Ellet, and it was a real old house, so everything was outdated, and the wiring was outdated particularly, and that was important because when you come in, you have a fire like that, and smoke gets all over the house, then they really have to do some reconstruction and remodeling in places where you wouldn't think that they would. And we were happy for it because we got brand new rooms in places that really weren't that affected by the fire, but they just have to do that. But one of the things that happens is when you do remodeling like that, everything has to be up to code. So the wiring had to be fixed. It was outdated. It wasn't up to code. And the problem is with most insurances, they don't pay for the wiring. So we were told right on the spot, we were very happy with what they were going to do and how they were going to take care of us. Until they came to the wiring, they said, now that's not covered, and it's going to be about $10,000 to, you know, redo all of that. And just in passing, he said, now, you know, every once in a while with some insurances, the wiring's hardly ever covered unless there's a small box that if you check it, the wiring's covered, and it adds a couple of bucks to your policy. That's it. Well, we didn't know anything about that, and as it turns out, we checked the box. And I can guarantee you right now it was Janice who checked that box. It wasn't me. But we checked the box, and so it's that small, it's a small little thing, and most people miss it. So we got everything remodeled and the wiring redone and up to code and all of that, and it was covered by insurance. And the point of it is, it's important to read the small print. It's important to understand in any document, and there is no document that's more significant than the Bible, to understand that all of the details matter. And the reason this world is in a mess religiously is because people don't understand that. Sometimes people ignore that. They choose to believe otherwise. There's a lot of people, in fact, who would say, if you go around saying that we have to read the small print when it comes down to the Bible, that we have to pay attention to all of the details, that's legalism. All you have to really do is have faith and believe in God and love Jesus, and everything else will be taken care of. You don't have to worry about the small print. But they fail to understand God is a God of details, and He has always been so. Whenever He's instructing His people, we have many examples of Him giving a lot of details, and He expects that they all are going to be followed. A great example of that is with the ark in Genesis chapter 6. I know you're familiar with this, but turn over to Genesis chapter 6 and just notice that God is a God of detail. Down at verse 14, Genesis chapter 6 and at verse 14, again, we are familiar with this, but the Bible says, make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark is 300 cubits. Its breadth, 50 cubits. And its height, 30 cubits. Now just notice the details here. Like you can see some of this, you know, whoever was going to build the ark, they would get this right away. Like just the beginning of the instructions, make me an ark. That would be in bold print. Everybody would see that. But then you have some details. If people could transform back there, if they were in Noah's shoes and they had the same attitude as they had today, things like, well, you make it the breadth 50 cubits. That's small print. It doesn't have to be exactly that. 49 would be all right. It'd be all right if it was 55 cubits. It doesn't have to be exact. That's just a little detail. We don't have to pay attention to that. They pay attention. You notice as it says, make a roof for the ark and finish it a cubit above and set the door of the ark in its sides. Make it a lower and second and third deck. That would be bold. Nobody would miss that. Yeah, the ark has to be three stories. Everybody would see that. But where it says in here, make a roof for the ark and finish it a cubit above. How many people today, if they had the same mentality, would miss that little detail? But when it comes to the Bible, everything is important. Every detail matters. You have to read the small print. And we see that over and over again. It's amazing how many times God gives instruction to His people and He just spells out exactly what He wants. Like, turn over to Exodus chapter 25. In Exodus chapter 25, Exodus chapter 25, and beginning at verse 1, it says, the Lord said to Moses, speak to the people of Israel, that they take for me a contribution. From every man whose heart moves him, you shall receive the contribution for me. And this is the contribution that you shall receive from them. Gold, silver, bronze, blue and purple and scarlet yarn and fine twined linen and goat's hair, tanned ram's skins, goat skins, acacia wood, oil for the lamp, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense. And we could just go on. Notice all of the details here. And if you were to study the book of Exodus, and particularly this part that deals with the sanctuary and all of the furniture, the Ark of the Covenant, if you just flip through there and see, we'll not read it all now. Down at verse 23, he starts talking about the table for the bread and then later the golden lampstand and all of that. Verse chapter 26, he starts dealing with the tabernacle, but you start reading all of those things. Like with the table for the bread at verse 23, you shall make a table of acacia wood. 2 cubits shall be its length. You see how particular God is? It couldn't be almost 2 cubits. It couldn't be three or four. It had to be two. It had to be exactly the way he wanted it. Verse 21, you shall make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand should be made of hammered wood, a work, its base, its stem, its cup, so on and so forth. He gives all kinds of details. He does the same thing with the tabernacle. He knew exactly how long he wanted the tabernacle to be, how wide he wanted it to be, what color he wanted it to be made of, just all kinds of details. And then we think about Hebrews at chapter 8 at verse 5, where the Hebrews writer says, with regard to the ark, do all things according to the pattern. You know where the Hebrews writer got that? Right here from Exodus, in dealing with this furniture and the sanctuary and all of the various pieces. Do everything according to the pattern. Most people think that's not important. But the fact of the matter is, God will not tolerate not conforming to his details. We had a passage read for us, so I'll not go back and read it now because you're all familiar with it, in Leviticus chapter 10 with Nadab and Abihu. They acted without authority. Most people would say it's a small thing, what they did. After all, we see in the Bible all kinds of people building altars and worshiping false gods. There were high places all over Israel. Hey, they weren't doing anything like that. They were offering incense to the God of heaven. They, someone might argue, had some respect for Yahweh. They were just trying to worship him. Yeah, but they were doing it without authority. And if they were paying attention, they would have heard God when he said that he didn't want them offering unauthorized incense or fire. Details matter. We have to pay attention to God when he speaks. Today, he speaks through his word. But those who don't comply, those who think the details aren't important, as long as I have an overall respectful attitude towards God and I'm going to serve and worship him, at least in some way, that's good enough. And how many people will be surprised on the day of judgment when they find out that the details matter? We have so many great examples that most of them you are familiar with. Turn over to 2 Samuel and chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6. You'll remember this. 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter, and at verse 1. It says, Daniel again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And Daniel arose and he went with all the people who were with him from Baali, Judah, to bring up from there the ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, who sits enthroned on the cherubim. And they carried the ark of God on a new cart, and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, and Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were driving the new cart with the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel were celebrating before the Lord with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals. And when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God struck him down there because of his error, and he died there because of the ark of God. We're all familiar with that story. But no matter how many times you read that, you think, man, that was something, that God actually killed this man because he did exactly what you or I would have done if we were in his shoes. How many of you think that, now you keep in mind, to the Jew, the Ark of the Covenant was a sacred piece of furniture. Of all of the furniture that they made for the sanctuary and for the tabernacle and all of that, this was the most important. The mercy seat is on the ark of God. That's the dwelling place of God. It represents, it's symbolic of the throne of God. It was very special to them. And so how many of you, if you had that view of the Ark of the Covenant and you just happened to be standing there and the oxen stumbled and it looked like the Ark was going to fall off and be destroyed, how many of you would have reached up and tried to stop it from falling? Is there anyone here who just would have stepped aside and just let it go? I doubt it. I would guess every single one of you, if you were in his shoes, would have done the same thing. The problem was they shouldn't have been in that situation in the first place. Again, God told them, if you just read the small print, God told them before that they were not to touch this sacred furniture. And to avoid that, he told them how they were to carry it on their shoulders. But they ignored the small print. There's a better way we can do this thing. Let's make a new cart. It will be easier to get the ark from point A to point B. So let's do it this way. And it's because they ignored the details of God's instruction that he was in that situation to naturally act and reach up and touch the furniture God said never to touch. He warned them, if you do, you're going to die. And so God just did what he promised that he was going to do. But they were in that situation because they ignore the small print. We can look at many other, over in 2 Kings chapter 5, you remember that situation there. I'll not read that now, but Naaman, of course, was struck with leprosy. He had leprosy. And all he had to do to be cleansed is dip into the Jordan. And he didn't want to do that. He thought the rivers of Damascus were better. Behold, I thought, he said. And again, it's not willing to do the little things that God commands. He finally did it because his men came up to him and said, listen, if God was asking you to do something great, you would do it. But this is just a little thing. And he got to thinking about it, and he ended up dipping in the Jordan and being cleansed. But little things, they matter to God. And this is not something that just our denominational acquaintances should be aware of. I would to God that people in denominational churches would take this under consideration. But we need to do the same thing. Even here at Brown Street, we need to make sure that we're reading the small print. And that everything that we do, we make sure we have authority for it. And we never develop the mentality that says, well, that's just a small thing. We don't have to worry about that little detail. And details matter to God. I'm going to close now. I could make an application in my mind. The application we would make to this really would be to things like worship. Certainly details matter when it comes down to worship. The work of the church. How many people do works that aren't authorized in the Word of God because they don't care about the fine print? We'll just do what we want to. And certainly we need to understand how important the details are to God. Some other time we'll make the application of that. But let's make sure we understand how important it is to take the Word of God seriously. Every little detail, not just the big things, but even the small things that God instructs us to do. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel. And of course, obeying the gospel, that would be a big thing. That would be in bold letters. And what people might think is just small print stuff are the details of God's plan of salvation. They all matter. Last week we talked about Mark chapter 16 at verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And people again with their mentality think, well, you know, we can switch that around just a little bit and that's just a little thing. It's not a big deal. No, even the order of that passage matters. You have to believe and then you have to be baptized. And after that, you'll be saved. Order matters. Are you here tonight and you haven't obeyed the gospel? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he's the Messiah, that he has the words of eternal life? If you believe that and you're willing to be baptized, the water's ready, you can become a new creature in Christ this very night. You can be born again and salvation can be yours. And as long as you're faithful unto death, following all of the commandments of God, you can go to heaven after a while. But you have to act. Maybe you haven't done that. Maybe you are a Christian or a child of God, at least, and you have obeyed the gospel, but you have ignored some of the small or fine print. You have stopped obeying the details. Maybe you've just gone back into the world, and there's unrepentant sin in your life. You need to take care of that just as soon as you can. Why not tonight? Repent and pray God. That's all you have to do. Be willing to have a change of heart. Change your mind. Ask God for forgiveness. John said he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. Whatever your situation is, don't leave tonight in an undone condition. It's not worth the risk. I hope you'll respond. Come forward right now as we together stand and sing.